All right, so just remember, we're going to be talking about spanking primarily. Spanking is not the only method of discipline. You're not a one-trick pony, but it is one of the aspects of discipline which you need a little bit of pastoring and coaching on, and it is one of the aspects of discipline that are commanded in Scripture. And so we're going to be talking about that mostly. I'm going to use the word discipline. So anything I say about discipline, you can apply to all manner or different types of discipline, whether you're making them do push-ups or run suicides or clean their room or whatever it is, depending on the age. But so you can apply it even if your kids are too old for spankings or even if you don't have kids. But but remember, as I go through this, there's no one-size-fits-all. So if your behavior for the last 20 years doesn't line up exactly like what I'm saying, don't feel condemned. You might be wrong, probably, but that doesn't mean God can't use that, okay? So no one needs to be condemned. Discipline of children is a bit of a science and an art. You can get better at it. And God uses us when we're good at things, and he uses us when we're bad at things too, so that's my qualifier. Well, let's get into it. What is the purpose? And I'm going to go through a few things quickly because I want to get to everything, and we don't have as much time as we need. But the purpose of discipline is corrective, to correct them, right? It is not to punish them as a criminal. Our world has that backwards. What do we call prisons? We call them correctional facilities because they're trying to correct. That is, get back on the straight and narrow to rehab, to correct criminals when they're actually supposed to be enacting justice. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Murderers are supposed to be executed. Thieves are supposed to pay restitution, etc. But our government thinks it's God and believes that it can change the hearts of people and with the right societal, you know, formulas. Of course, it doesn't work. It only makes them worse. But discipline of children is supposed to be corrective. Your home is a correctional facility, you know, even though that sounds terrible. you are trying to train them to walk in the ways of the Lord. And there's a lot of ways you correct. There's a lot of ways you correct. You instruct, you teach, you model, right? You encourage. And you enforce the laws of God with spanking. That's the one we're in particular that we're talking about today. Okay? If it's not changing their behavior, something is wrong. Something is wrong. You're doing it wrong, one way or the other. It might be in the spanking, or it might be in all the other aspects of discipline and love and instruction. But you're doing something wrong if the kid is just continuing their behavior. If they are disrespecting you and you are spanking them and they are disrespecting you in the middle of the spanking and before, during, and after, and they just keep on disrespecting you with no behavioral change, you're doing it wrong. Something is wrong. It's meant to get them to stop doing that and start doing the right thing. Of course, they're going to need a reminder the next day, right? And some kids need reminders more than once a day. But it is supposed to stop them in their tracks and to correct them. Have you ever seen a parent who is angry or frustrated and is like, and hits them on their four layers of diaper, and the kid doesn't do nothing but just keeps on running, doing the bad thing? That's not a spanking, all right? It's supposed to correct. It's supposed to correct. Also, it is not punitive. It is not what you do to criminals. Hell is not corrective. Hell is punishment, and there's no more hope for you, okay? But spanking means there's hope. Spanking means there's a future. Spanking means there's a relationship. You see what I mean? They're not a criminal. They are a child needing to be trained, haltered, harnessed, restrained, corrected, right? So spanking is for the purpose of changing them, transforming them, loving them, guiding them. And the Bible says if you spank them, you will save their soul from hell. And if you don't spank them, you must hate them because you're going to send them to hell because you're not correcting their behavior, right? And we qualified all of that in our last lesson if you weren't here. All right, let's get on to the intensity and the duration. How hard should it be? How hard should it be? Well, that depends, okay? That depends on the child, right? And it depends on the infraction. what they've done. If they punch their mom in the face, it should be way, they should remember it when they get older, right? Like, they should remember that moment they punched mom and dad lit them on fire with the paddle. You understand what I'm saying? And they should, and if you're doing it right, they will tell that story to their friends with a smile and thankful to God that they had such a good dad. You understand what I'm saying? If you're doing it right. And we're going to talk about all that. All right? But the intensity is going to change depending on the circumstances and depending on the child. If they screamed and threw a temper tantrum and threw themselves on the floor, and you said, you do not do that, and they kept doing it, well, then they're going to get a spanking, right? But it's not going to be the same level of intensity than if they punch their mom in the face, okay? So it depends on what they did. Now, is that biblical? Yes, of course, God disciplines to the degree of the infraction, right? You know, some sins are worse than other sins. And some seeds, if you sow them, you reap a worse harvest. And so there's different levels of intensity, all right? Some kids are more stubborn than other kids. And so some kids are going to need to have more spankings than other kids. And that's just the way it is. Some kids will correct their behavior with a warning, a verbal warning, which we'll talk about in a second. Other kids will not correct their behavior with a verbal warning, and they need a more painful warning and correction. You as the parent know the child better than anyone else. That's why it's best, in my opinion, that you spank your kid. I mean, there might be a situation in which you have to allow other people to do that. Like if someone else is watching your kid for a month or something like that, they need to be able to enforce God's law. But 99% of the time, generally speaking, you spank your own kids because you know your kids, right? And you're responsible. Makes sense? So you're best suited to monitor the intensity and the duration of a particular spanking. If it's not altering their behavior in the moment, if it's not adjusting their attitude in the moment, then 9 times out of 10, it's not intense enough, right? All things being equal. If you are an unloving, unaffectionate father and your kids are starving for attention, well, it doesn't matter how hard you hit them. They're going to keep doing the bad behavior. But all things being equal, if they're not changing their attitude and their behavior, it's probably because it doesn't hurt enough, all right? Should discipline hurt? Does that sound weird when I say that? Sounds weird, right? I don't necessarily want to record this and put it on the internet, you know? It sounds weird, but does discipline hurt? According to what book of the Bible? All of them, yeah. Hebrews. Hebrews says no discipline is pleasant in the moment, but it works righteousness, right? All right, good. Now, what about the attitude of discipline? We're rolling through just these basic practical things. It should never be in anger or frustration or hopeless despair. Right? James chapter 1, verse 20, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. God is not going to bless your angry hauling off and hitting your kids. Right? It should not be done in anger. It should not be done out of exasperation or frustration. Right? It should be done with a spirit and an attitude of gentleness and self-control. Galatians 6:1, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual, mom and dad, that's you. That means you are living like the Holy Spirit would have you to live. Not angry, not frustrated, not exasperated, not in despair. Anyone who is spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. See, that's your attitude. You're not dealing with a criminal. You're dealing with your own child, and so you have to make sure you don't have a rotten attitude. God is not going to bless you hauling off with a rotten attitude, right? What should you do if you're angry and ticked off or exasperated and you're cursing and steam's coming out of your ears or you're annoyed? I'm sorry? Repent quickly and then spank them with the right attitude. Yes, maybe. And it should not be because you were embarrassed, right? Your kids are going to embarrass you in front of us, right? And in front of other people and in front of the world, hopefully not the world, but you know, your kids are going to embarrass you from time to time. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Now, this directly applies to an undisciplined child later in life, but it is true that if you leave them to themselves long enough, eventually they're going to do something that's embarrassing to you, and you really wish your friends didn't know that your kids were that bad, right? But that's not why you spank them. If you're in public and they knock something off the shelf or they're screaming about this and that, you should perhaps spank them depending on the situation, but not because you're embarrassed. It's not about, you're not enforcing the integrity of your ego, right? You're enforcing the law of God as an agent of God, right? With one of God's children. And they are God's children, right? Whether you dedicated them or not, right? You, in fact, don't need to do that. They're already dedicated, right? He claimed them when they were born to your family. All right. And it should be done out of a spirit of love. Amen? Do you think there's kids that are intentionally, we're talking about spanking, right? Just welcome to the class. And I'm glad you are here. You're going to need this class. We've talked about the purpose, the intensity, the duration of it. We've talked about the attitude of it as well. We're still talking about the attitude of it, but there's a lot of kids that misbehave because they don't have enough affection from mom and dad. They don't have enough love, right? They aren't noticed enough. Were any of you that type of kid where you did bad things just to get attention, just to be noticed? It was you'd rather get negative attention than no attention at all, right? Isn't that how we all are? I'd rather someone hate me than not think about me at all, you know, be completely indifferent, right? When a son or a daughter is not getting enough attention and love, and they don't feel safe and they don't feel loved, then very often they will act up. They will overly compete and fight with their brothers and sisters. And you want to just make sure that they're not competing for your love and your attention, right? Because if you don't have that attitude of love all the time for them, and especially when you're spanking them, and they don't sense that warmth and that affection, God's not going to bless those particular actions, right? And if after you spank them, they have an attitude where they want your affection and they turn to you for comfort, then that's a good sign, right? The same way with God, we always turn to God when we're being disciplined for our sin. But if they hate you and they sulk off and never return, that's not a good sign. You need to make sure that they know that you're spanking them because you love them, and they understand the context there. All right, moving on to the impetus for discipline. Why do we administer the rod? It's always because of a violation of God's law. And that needs to be taught to them over and over again. You teach that in various ways. You use the words of God's law, you use those words so that they know what sin they're committing. Lying, right? Dishonoring, disobeying, right? Dueling, right? You might say, you know, angry fighting, right? You use the words that the Bible uses to explain their violation of God's law, and you also explain to them as soon as you're able that if I don't discipline you for violating God's law, then I'm violating God's law because I'm an agent of the Lord, and I am called to serve you in this way. I'm a servant in His house, and I have to train you up by enforcing God's law. We always said, and I think this is an easy catch-all, that you spank for disobedience and disrespect. Those are two good categories to remember. Other people say disobedience, disrespect, and lying, because it's kind of hard to fit lying in those. But lying is disobedience, too. That's kind of how we did it. So we were like, if you disobey God's law or disrespect mom and dad, and by the way, there are some laws in your house that they may not understand how they are connected to God's law, but that's not for them to worry about, right? And they'll be like, why can't I? And the answer is because mom and dad said so, especially if their attitude is rotten, right? As they get older, you can explain and show the correlation between some of your house rules and God's law, but you don't need to feel the need to justify yourself to the child. You're the authority. You're the boss, right? And 9 times out of 10, why means I disagree with you, and I'd like you to present an argument so that I could quickly bat it out of here, That's what it usually means, okay? So what's your argument before you're even done giving the reason? That's a dumb one. You know when they're going to just hit that out of here, so don't even give it to them, all right? So the impetus is a violation of God's law, right? It's not because you're annoyed. It's not because they are ruining your dinner. It's not because you are not getting enough sleep. It's not because they embarrassed you in front of your friends. What if they have violated God's law, but they're really cute? You know, because it is kind of cute and funny when little tiny humans with disproportionate body parts do little sins, little lies. But you and Henry, y'all are both talking at the same time. What, Brother Henry? That's right. That's right. But that, like, I've heard this recently when a child was being like openly defiant, and it was brought to the parents' attention. The mom was like, "Oh," and this is no one in this room, but it might be. Y'all might have done this before too, but this is not the story from y'all. They were like, "Oh yeah, she's sassy today. I don't know how much sleep she got last night." It's like, no, that's not, you have to discipline them, because it might be cute and innocent now, but it won't be when they're 18. You understand what I mean? It won't be cute anymore. And so you have to discipline them. And if you don't, you're in sin. And God's going to discipline you with a little brat, right, for the rest of your life. So please do the right thing. once they get older, it's going to be too late, right? The goal is that by the time they're 15 or 16, you don't have to do it anymore. That's the goal, right? And you really don't even have to have any rules anymore. You have house rules, like bedtimes, right? You know, what you need to do with the dinner that you're served, how much you have to eat, right? We try to be lenient. We tried to be happy and pleasant. We tried to make sure everything was God's law. But I'm a professional studier of the Bible, right? So it's not fair. You don't have to necessarily be like, okay, I want them to clean their plate, but I don't know exactly where in the Mosaic case laws it talks about this, right? You don't have to feel pressure about that, okay? Most of what our grandmas and grandpas taught us is pretty decent, okay? Not all of it, but a lot of it is okay. And it's good to have a lot of rules, in my opinion, when they're little, right? If you have a lot of rules, and they're good rules, they're house rules, and they are you know, generally in line with God's law as best as you possibly can, and you enforce them, that's the right way to do it, so that when they get older, you don't have to have any rules. And what's going to happen, and this is true in my life, is people will judge you when they're little for being too strict, and then they will judge you when they're older for not being strict at all. That's what will happen. But your kids will be good, and their kids will be bad, right? Think of your home as, when they're little, as a fun, pleasant, peaceful boot camp, right? That's my personal opinion. You can decide if it's like an Air Force boot camp or a Marines boot camp, but some kind of a boot camp. All right, Tim.
Yeah. What are some examples of the rules that you're talking about?
Oh, I mean, there's so many. There's sleeping rules. There's eating rules. There's playing outside rules. There's relational rules. And I promise you, if we sat down, we could write a list of 1,000 rules. It's just rules, rules, rules. Because you have a covenant kid there, but they're not corrected yet. They're not trained yet. So you're training with law, right? The rules shouldn't be, don't be a child, right? The rules shouldn't be, don't make mistakes. That's not the rules. You understand what I mean? The rules need to be actually biblical, good, justifiable rules, not don't spill your milk, right? The rule might be, don't run with your milk. Don't drink milk in your bed. Like, that's not in the Bible. Yes, being a good steward of your linens is in the Bible, okay? Aaron.
So then, like, you say you have a bunch of rules, but
disobey mom and dad. Yeah, which means they disobey God. But the most of the rules need to be, like, don't be arbitrary. Yeah, they need to be enforced in wisdom. They need to be wise rules. You have to be a king of your house and make wise rules. You can't have arbitrary, dumb rules that the kids resent and that you frustrate them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they need to be wise, good rules. And you love them. You're not going to be an unnecessary tyrant. You love them. I don't think that's probably the ditch that any of us are going to fall in. The ditch is probably on the other side that we're going to fall in. What about consistency and persistence? You have to be consistent when they're young. Or what are you teaching them if you're not consistent? You're not teaching them the law if you're not consistent. What you're teaching them is that we enforce God's law when it's convenient, right? When it suits us, which is not obedience. That's disobedience. You're teaching them disobedience at that particular point if you're not consistent. What about whining? Do you spank whining? Absolutely. You'd better spank whining or else the rest of us are going to suffer when your kid gets older. They're going to be that touchy, defensive person with concerns all the time, right? Please don't raise that person. They're not going to fit in well in groups, right? You spank whining. Now, hopefully, because you've been consistent and you have used the right intensity and duration young, by the time they get older, you can look at them and they stop whining, okay? That's a warning. That's good. Does God give us warnings? Yes. Yeah, he's giving us one right now. Does God spank whining? Yes, it's a very, very bad sin. You don't go into the promised land for whining, right? It's a very, very bad sin. And it's not, if you are letting them whine, you are letting them disobey, because obedience is cheerful, right? Obedience is like the angels, and they don't complain and murmur and whine. So don't let them whine. Get that. And you're like, I'm not sure it's going to work. It will work. It will work. You will have to be persistent and consistent for about 3 or 4 days. One particular author whose book I'm using for this lesson quite a bit calls it, you need a little reign of terror in your home for about 3 or 4 days to lick that whining and get rid of it. And you spank whining, spank it. There's no whining. And you stay on that so that they stop that bad habit. Because what they're doing is they're using whining to get their way and to be the boss of you and the king of the castle. And if you let that, they're going to grow up to be the kind of person that uses whining and self-pity to manipulate other people. All right? Don't let them be that person. All right? And you don't, if you're whining, you're modeling whining for them. Especially if you're whining against your spouse or something like that. Or against the situation that God's put you in. Right? That's a good point. And also, you spank anger. You spank anger. It's disobedience in the heart. So yes, it's disobedience. Whining and anger are disobedience in the heart. God loves a cheerful giver, not a whining or an angry, begrudging giver. So you spank anger. And what does anger look like with a little kid? It's not complicated. Kicking, grunting, flopping on the floor. Oh, they're tired. And we're going to... We're going to get to the tired thing. We're going to get to that because that's important. There is a time when you don't spank and you put them in bed. There is a time for that, okay? We're going to get to that in a second. Sometimes they just need a cookie or they need to go to bed, right? That's just like us, right? We'll get to that. But generally speaking, you know when they're not tired, they just don't like the fact that you told them no, right? And if you don't discipline that, they will use anger as adults to manipulate others and to get their way. Right? That's what they will do. And you don't use anger and snippiness and hostile language and backbiting with your spouse to get your way. You don't do that, or else you're just training them to do that. Okay? Admonish is another word for warn. And yes, this is all parts of warning. Don't do that. Don't keep doing that. But I don't know if my kid understands. They understand. I feel confident that I could say they understand. If they know what no means, and the no, whether it be verbal or nonverbal, elicits a whine or a They understand. They know the connection between that cookie and your no and them whining. They understand that what comes next is a pop. They connected the cookie to whining to you. They'll connect the spanking. They'll get it all in there. Trust me. All right? All right? Now, the unity required for spanking. I'm going to go a little bit quicker. The unity. Mom and dad, you got to be on the same page. If you're not on the same page, this is not going to work well. Mom and dad both need a spank for whining. Mom and dad need a both spank for anger. Both spank for disobedience, lying, disrespect. And dad, if the mom is not on board, it's your fault, and it's going to be your problem. So you need to make sure that you're teaching and instructing and explaining what goes on when you're at work or wherever. They need to know when they're at home, they are spanking in the Father's name. And the Father is ruling his family in Jesus' name. And that's how it works. And so you need to make sure your wife knows the drill, knows the plan. And when you come home from work, you need to evaluate, supervise, do an after-action review, and find out. You're an overseer, okay? You need to, let me just rush through this real quick. You need to find out, how are the kids today? What's going on? Do I need to deal with anything? Do I need to reinforce anything? Do we need to change the environment, the structure, the atmosphere? What do we need to do? And I promise you, the ladies in our church will be fine with you taking some initiative and leadership in this particular area, right? They're not going to mind. And make sure the wife is spanking hard enough, right? And make sure the wife is not being manipulated by the child, because doting doesn't. Well, obviously, no one needs to be manipulated by their children, but I do think wives are more prone to being manipulated by their kids' whining or anger than dads. And so, dads, you need to make sure that's not happening, and you need to get in there and deal with that. Amen. Now, the mechanics of it, real quick, we talked about this a little bit, but you got to make sure the environment is right first, okay? You can't have an environment of nagging and threats. Moms and dads don't threaten their kids, they don't nag their kids, and they don't argue with their kids, okay? You're the boss. You're the boss. Do you think a captain in a infantry platoon nags his troops? You think that he has to like present them a bunch of different reasons before they obey, right? Here's my 17 syllogisms to get you to comply. No, they don't do that. Do they count to 10 and train their kid how to basically disobey? Because if it's not in the timing of the parent, it's not obedience, right? The angels in heaven, when God gives them an order, they don't stop and think, well, what would be when would that be good for me to do? Right? And God's like, count to 10. That's disobedience. Don't train them to be good counters. That's disobedience. It needs to be in your time, in your time. As they get older and they've shown themselves to be willingly obedient, they might say, hey, I kind of finish up this chapter before I go to bed. Sure, right? But they need to have demonstrated a precedent of willingness to obey before they get to have conversations like that, right? There's a lot of nuance here. There's a lot to say, and I'm going through this really fast. So if you have any questions, feel free later on. I'm making general statements, obviously. get everything that the world teaches about children out of your head, all right? They chop babies up, and they sell the parts. So please don't read their books. They know nothing, okay? Don't listen to anything they say about trauma and abuse and all of that. Those are all just Marxist words to delegitimize the family, to give more power to the state, right? They are trying to delegitimize the actual father's authority so that the government can be their daddy. And the government doesn't have children. It only has slaves, all right? So don't listen to anything they say. They are evil and they are stupid, right? And your Christian friends that read those books and they have the world's thoughts in their minds, pray for them and pity them, but don't listen to them at all, okay? They are not wise, and their kids will be bad, right? And their kids are damage is being done to their kids' souls, right? So don't listen to them, okay? I'm sorry? No, that's good. how many swats? Depends on the kid, depends on the situation. We liked when the kids were a little bit older, we like to say, so that they could brace themselves. You know what I mean? We'd like to say, there's going to be 7, right? So they could brace themselves. Or there's going to be 3. And that also, we knew when we were going into it how many we were going to do. That way, if, like, we got frustrated or if we, you know, missed or whatever, we didn't, like, in the middle of it, just, you know, something like that. We, you know, it was kind of like a check on all that. It's not, that rule's not in the Bible, but it's just I think something to think about. It should be painful enough for them to remember a few when they're older. Can everyone here remember at least one or two spankings they got? Good. It needs to be painful enough where you still, you remember a few later in life. it should not damage them in any way, which is why I recommend, like God does, to use a rod. Nowhere in the Bible does it have someone spanking with their fists or their hands or their feet, right? It needs to sting and not damage. And some people's hands are bigger than other people's hands, so you got a little. And some people are more, they have better motor skills than other people's. But generally speaking, you want something that's got a sting to it, right? And it needs to be consistently applied on the basis of God's law, so that the children will learn God's law, and it needs to be proportionate, depending on the particular sin. And we talked about that already. If they punch mom, that's going to be a much worse spanking than if they, refuse to eat their last Brussels sprout. All right. Which I think that's torture, honestly. Making kids eat Brussels sprouts, come on. You're dying on the wrong hill. It's impossible. Their taste buds are very powerful and active, and you're killing them with the nastiest thing on earth. Yeah, to teach them the difference between laws for children and laws for adults. In the Bible, does the Bible say that? Yeah, the whole Old Testament has forms and types of laws which were to train up Israel for their maturity. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. Were you about to give an example? Like drinking beer?
Well, like sitting at the table to eat dinner.
Yeah.
That's a rule in our house. You can sit at the table to eat dinner.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, that's good. That's a good point. You don't want them going to school and telling their, finding out their friends don't eat at the table, and they're like, oh, you know, they need to know there's some flexibility with that. Yeah, it's not about the table itself. Yeah, that's good. Alternatives to spanking, warnings. Warnings might work at some point. Hopefully they get to, as they get older, that you can just say it or look at them and they'll stop. And if they stop, okay, all right, okay. You warn them. Like whining, for example. Remember, whining will cost you the promised land or whatever. Whatever phrase you use in your home so that it triggers and they understand. Murmurs go to hell. All right, I don't know, whatever it is. And they stop. That's fine. We used to say, crying doesn't make you queen. That's what we would say to Amelia. Oh, yeah, there's one. That's a good old-fashioned one right there. Have some names for the sins, biblical names if possible, paraphrase names for little kids that they can understand. Don't discipline accidents, usually. But there are some kids that seem to be making the same accident over and over again, and they are doing what the Bible calls forgetful. They're forgetting the laws of God. So forgetfulness is not necessarily a sin, but it very well can be a sin, especially if you see them forgetting over and over again. God says to remember my commandments and do them, right? And so sometimes forgetfulness needs to be spanked too. And then there's passive discipline. Right? When a child is screaming at you because it doesn't want to sleep in its crib, and you put that child in there and you say, no, you're going to bed right now, lay down, and then you leave the room and you shut the door and you let the kid scream, that's called passive discipline. right? Not everything has to be active discipline, which is spanking. Some things can be passive, and that's fine too. The timing. Oh, and as they get older, obviously you can't spank them. And I was talking to Ben about this recently, because we both have older kids. And I was saying that one of the things I've read and heard suggested, and I think this is very biblical, is to enforce restitution in the home, right? If they break one of their brother or sister's toys, then they should pay for that toy, right? If they disrespect mom, let's say they're 16 years old, and they disrespect mom, you can't spank them, and you shouldn't be the kind of dad that's like, oh, you're getting his face. Like, that is not the righteousness of God. That's stupidity. What you should do is make that 16-year-old go to his mother and humbly confess his sin and ask for forgiveness. He will remember that. It will be a shot to his ego, all right? Let him do restitution. Let him confess his sins, and make him do it in front of the family if necessary. Right? Family discipline. But I think that's very wise and very biblical to do that. Grounding. Sometimes you need to ground. That is, sometimes they're not mature enough for certain things. But generally speaking, I personally would say not to make the discipline go on and on and on and on and on. The point of discipline is to be restorative and corrective and to reconcile the relationship really quick so you can get back to having a pleasant, nice family. Right? You want it to always be pleasant and warm and fun with little interruptions of pain, right? That's the thing. And then you get back to the pleasant, warm, fun. What you don't want is a 16-year-old moping around the house all the time because he can't do this, can't do that. Oh, and he thinks, and he's been for the next 2 weeks, all we got to hear about is the fact that he can't do this and that. Just make him, in front of the whole family, apologize for his sin. And if it's genuine, say, all right, let's quit that. Let's quit doing that. Let's be a man, all right? And be done with it. Just be done with it, all right? And I also don't suggest taking away from the kids the one or two things they're good at, right? Like, imagine if Jude was disrespectful and I was like, no more piano for you, right? No piano for a month. And that's not cool. That's not how God does with us. You understand what I'm saying? What would be better is quick restitution, make it right, pay the bill if you have a bill, whatever it's got to be. We have where's Amelia and Addie? Oh, Amelia's goats ate Addie's plants. And so I've been hearing for the last couple of days that Amelia is Adeline's bond slave. Because she doesn't have money to make restitution. Addie's like, Dad, Amelia's my bond slave, right? Which is pretty funny. Yeah, sometimes you don't need to add active discipline to a when God spanks them, you don't necessarily have to come on behind God and spank them again. You understand what I mean? They just broke their ankle disobeying you. You don't need to come up there and spank them. Right? You done. Yeah, we had Shira one time disobeyed us about a scooter situation, and she fell off the scooter and broke her arm or her leg or something. I can't remember. We're like, well, that's probably enough. And then there was another time where she got in a tizzy and she kicked and it broke the window. And so she got a cut on her foot. And then Emily was like, no, she's getting stitches. So she brought her to the hospital, got all the stitches. It was like, you know, we intensified the God spanking. There's no need to add to that, though. the timing, it needs to be right away, if possible, swift and immediate. You know, and that's a biblical principle, Ecclesiastes 8:11. If you're letting long time lag between the offense and the sin, you're teaching them the wrong thing. Not long and drawn out, right? Good. All right, let me do some practice questions real quick. Just say yes or no, okay? They trip and they spill the juice. Was told not to get up from the table with juice, then gets up from the table, trips, and spills juice. Okay. Throws himself on the ground after being told no for a cookie. After being told no by dad, he waddles over to mom and asks again. Yeah, you spank demonic behavior, right? That dude is going to be a church-splitting fool if you don't spank that, right? Spank that little divisive kid, right? Whines in response to being told no, but immediately stops when you warn them. Hurts his sibling while wrestling in the backyard. Hurts them in anger after they were found with his toy.
Yes.
All right. Punches his sister.
Yes.
Punches his mom.
Yes.
All right. Is told to do something and he goes to do it but gets distracted. Gets distracted very often and claims he forgot.
Yes.
Refuses to pick up a toy once told to do so. After being told to clean up room, which has been messy for 3 weeks and is a total disaster, he picks up a few things, but then slinks into frustration and feels like it's impossible. No. You get on the floor and you pick up the toys with the kid because you create an environment that's impossible for a child, right? Don't provoke them into sin. God doesn't have, like, all temptation coming at us. Because he knows we would fall. You know what I'm saying? So if the family life has been crazy, you know, everyone's had the vomits for a week, and their room is just, you just haven't been able to be on top of it. That's not when you're like, hey, four-year-old, clean your room, and then you go off. They're not going to do it. You can't, and then you go back in, you didn't clean your room, spanking. No, that's ridiculous. That's good. You have to make sure that you are being wise and understanding the weakness of the flesh. So you do like God, and you get down, you send the Holy Spirit. You get down on their level, and you pick up the toys while they pick up the toys, right? They are just having a weird little slightly rotten attitude. But it's not, they understand the no whining, no bad attitude rule, so it's just kind of like on the fence. Like, oh, somebody woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and they keep snipping, and you and your wife are like, what's up there? You know, what's going on with them today? They're just kind of just like making everyone miserable, like just changing the tone of the family, you know, just, well. Jail, straight to jail. Believe it or not, jail. Here's what you do. Yeah, right? You go back to bed, right? You look for an opportunity to spank, all right? Or you might set up an opportunity to spank, all right? Which is a clear disobedience or a clear disrespect, all right? You can see that rotten little attitude, and they're just getting on everybody's nerve and picking and doing this. Tell them to do something that they, you know, they're not going to, their bad little attitude is going to be exposed, and then you can deal with it. Right, so look for an opportunity or create one by issuing a command, and you want your family to be a hostile environment for bad attitudes, right? As much as you can. You know, you don't need emotional terrorists running around controlling your home, right? All right, good. I hope you all enjoyed the class, and we have a question from Marley. No, timeout is what hell is. It's a long timeout. It's supposed to be swift, corrective. And it's supposed to reconcile the relationship. You know, that's like the way God is with us. And it's casting them from your presence for a long duration of time while they can think about what they've done is literally what hell is. So we're not sending them to hell. We're correcting them. So I'm absolutely against timeouts. Now, depending on how you define that term, you might could change my mind. If you mean, well, what about they just need to go to bed. Well, that's not a timeout. I'm thinking of the technical term timeout, you know, as a punitive thing where they go and they, you know, they meditate on what they've done and they self-examine. That's like a Buddhist form of hell. Yeah. Tim? Sometimes they're not mature enough for certain things. I would just say they're not mature enough for certain things. I certainly don't encourage taking away the few things that they're good at in life, you know. And I don't like to create an environment where 2 or 3 weeks of moping and just like, ugh, let's just get this thing over with, you know, and get back to having a pleasant family. That would be what I would encourage. But, of course, you could probably present a scenario where I say, yeah, they probably no more, you know, playing with the shotgun anymore. You know, they're just not ready for it. Just maybe later on, you're not ready for it. You're not mature enough. Yeah. 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 I think that's better. Aaron?
What about, like, putting off discipline, like, your dad has been doing this for
You may have to sometimes, depending on the situation, but generally you want it to be swift. Now, you have to understand, we're talking about little kids here. Little kids. You know what I mean? The kind, they're like goldfish. They'll remember. But, it's fine, I think, at a certain point. But generally, the mom should spank in the name of the father. And then, that's a good point. Yeah, you don't want them to figure that out and start monopolizing that. Yeah, I wouldn't spank in public because the devil in the world hates you, and so I would keep that. Wait, what? Sorry, kids. The spankings are about to commence. All right. All right. Let's go. We're good. Y'all have a good Lord's Day.